Of all the people in your life, is there one person you love the most? Perhaps there are a few people that you really, really love the most. And these people that you love, or this person that you love, what could you do for them? Are there any limits to what you can do for these people? Any limits? Are there words that describe how much you love them? Now, these are emotional questions, aren't they? Because when you think of people that you deeply love, something happens here, isn't it? And I begin with these questions because today we are going to reflect on Jesus' love. What does Jesus do? What does Jesus give? And what he gives, what does that say about how much God loves? Folks, last week we reflected on Jesus' words, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Now this week, Jesus takes us one step forward. "The bread that I will give," he says, "is my flesh for the life of the world." The questions that I just asked, really the key to all those questions is that one word, just one simple word, flesh. And in my 3 points today, I want to reflect on just this one word, flesh, and what that means for us. So here's my first point. Bread is not bread. Bread is flesh. In the desert, when the people were coming from Egypt into the promised land, the people of Israel were given manna, bread. In today's first reading, you have the prophet Elijah receiving hot cake and water. Again, receiving a kind of bread and water. God gave these things to people. Jesus, on the other hand, gave us his whole entire self, not just bread. "The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." These words epitomize Jesus' total, complete self-giving. Folks, this is the full extent of what any person can do for another person, to give of not something, but give of themselves completely, totally. Now, this giving that Jesus engaged in was not some symbolic way. Many people say that the bread in this context is just a symbolism, but it's not. And you know why? Because of the language that is used by John. The Greek word sarx, S-A-R-X, it literally means flesh. In a broader sense, sarx also refers to the human person and the human nature. Now, John also makes this very real because in the language that he uses for eating, there's quite another Greek word that is used. But when it came to John talking about the flesh that Jesus gives, he uses the word trogion or eat, which actually means there is a munching and a crunching involved. In other words, you actually, it's the action of eating. And in this way, John is saying that, that Jesus' self-giving to us is not some symbolic action. It's actually a real participation in the flesh and blood of the Son of Man. Now, before his death, Jesus did exactly that, didn't he? He took bread and he gave it to his disciples, and he took cup and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Eat. Trogien, eat. This is my body. Sarx. This is my blood." So this was not just some mere assurance that Jesus gave us. After he says, "This is my body and this is my blood," Jesus actually offers himself on the cross. His flesh and his blood is actually given for the life of the world in some real sense. I asked you earlier, what could you do for the ones that you love? And if you had to ask Jesus that question, he would say to you, "The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Jesus doesn't just give us his flesh, he gives us his whole self, body, soul, divinity. Because sarx stands for the human flesh, but it also stands for the human person, human nature. So in the Eucharist, when we access this piece of bread here and this wine, we're actually participating in the body, in the soul, in the divinity of Jesus. How much does God loves us? God loves us so much that God gives us his whole self, body, soul, divinity. Secondly, I want to talk about the Eucharist in the life of the church. Folks, John's Bread of Life discourse tells us or gives us an indication of how important the Eucharist was in the life of the early church. So think about it this way. Jesus, historians and scripture scholars tell us that Jesus died on the 3rd of April, 33 AD. They've taken all the Gospels and looked at who was ruling when and who was king when and who was the high priest when, and they put all this together and they think that they could come to the precise date as April the 3rd of 33 AD. The Gospel of John is written anywhere between 95 to 110 AD. That's a good 60, 70 years after the resurrection of Jesus. The Bread of Life discourse tells us that by the time the Gospel of John was written, the Eucharist is firmly established in the early Christian church. Like, there are no doubts about it. This is the way in which the early Christians worshipped. Now, how do we know this? How do we know that the Eucharist was already established? Because, again, John's language. There are a couple of phrases of words that he uses. For example, the Greek ho arthos means bread. Sarx means flesh. Ego, doso, means I will give. Hyper means for the sake of. For the sake of. These are words that is Eucharistic language. That's what they were using when they were celebrating the Eucharist. And these are the words that Jesus used at the Last Supper. So the connection between the Last Supper and then 60, 70 years later, John writing about this as the worship of the church becomes just absolutely clear that the Eucharist by now is firmly established as the main central worship of the church. See, Jesus had said, "Do this in memory of me." And the apostles did. In the early church, the apostles would gather with the Christians in their homes and they would break bread. Acts of the Apostles tells us. They engaged in singing hymns and the breaking of the bread. Each time they broke bread, they believed they were participating in the very life of Christ. It was not some symbolic stuff. They really believed that they were participating in the very life of Jesus. By this time, they were also, the belief was also firmly established that the bread and wine were in reality the flesh and blood of the Son of Man. Now think about this. What we are doing today at 4:30 in the evening on the 12th, on the 11th of August, 2018, it puts us in touch with what Jesus did in 33 AD. And then he said, "Do this in memory of me." The disciples did it in memory of Jesus, and 2,000 years later, we are celebrating that Mass. What does that say to us? We have to celebrate this Eucharist in such a way that this continues for another 2,000 years. May our doing it in memory of him preserve the Eucharist for the ages to come. How important it is that we do this right, and that we do it well, that we do it from our hearts. Do this in memory of me. And my third point, I'm going to start from exactly what I said. Do this in memory of me. Jesus had said to his disciples, do this. What did Jesus mean by this? What is the this in do this in memory of me? The narrow meaning of do this is the actual Last Supper. It's the Eucharist that we are celebrating here just now. That's the narrow way of understanding it. But those who think like Jesus think of the Last Supper as everything leading to it and everything flowing from there. For Jesus, the Last Supper and his death on the cross was merely the culmination of self-giving. In other words, at the Last Supper and on the Eucharist, Jesus' self-giving reaches its highest point. But that was not the only time he gave himself. From the moment of conception to his death on the cross, Jesus was just giving of himself. That's all he did. His whole life was that. And then at the end, it reaches its climax. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world meant that in life and in death, from the womb to the tomb, Jesus gave himself for the life of the world. For us then, do this in memory of me should mean what it meant for Jesus. Discipleship is the imitation of the self-giving of Jesus. Discipleship is the imitation of the self-giving of Jesus. First, it means that we too should offer our body, our soul, our humanity back to God. Jesus gave his body, soul, and divinity to us, and we give our body, soul, and humanity to God. To hold back anything we are and have from God is contrary to the meaning of the Eucharist. And secondly, it should mean that we imitate Christ's self-giving to the world. Whether it is to the people that we love the most, or the whole wide world, our life must only bring life. If our life and actions make someone else's life more difficult than it is, if our life does harm, brings pain, takes life, creates destruction, if our life does not enhance our earth and the people in it, if our life is lived only for the self, then the celebration of the Eucharist is a lie. Our Christianity is a lie. Our discipleship is a lie. Today, one more time, in this Eucharist, Jesus says to us, "The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." And then he says to us, "Do this in memory of me." May this celebration of this Eucharist, may be our act of total self-giving to God for the life of the world. People of God said,